Tonight we're back on our study, growing up in our Lord, and our daily walk with our Lord. Tonight we want to take a more expanded consideration. You know, we've looked at in these messages and considered about how it is that there's two facets of three facets, if you will, of operation or of our relationship with our Lord. We listen to him out of his word. We speak to him by prayer. And that third that's there is the Lord works and moves in us by his spirit. I mean, that's the definition of being saved. A definition of being saved, the spirit of God living within. And that's how close our Lord is. We've considered about that. So we have that of Lord speaking and us speaking to him. Tonight, we want to take a look more at an expanded consideration about the Lord speaking to us. The Lord speaking to us, and he speaks to us through his word. And for the child of God, for a Baptist, such as you and I, we've been called not only to salvation, but to be a member of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. Here in this day, here in these latter times, I don't know if it's going to be the end times or not, coming up to the beginning of the end, that last thousand or not. I don't know if that we live in that day or not. We need to be prepared for the return of our Lord always. But, you know, we're closer than we ever have been before. How is it that you and I really day to day deal with our Lord speaking to us? I had this thought here this afternoon and just reviewing notes for the message. If you and I were together facing one another, having a conversation, and you're speaking to me, and I would go, and then you would probably stop, which would be appropriate. Then I'm facing you and you'd begin to speak to me, and then I would look away. How would that make you feel? It wouldn't be good, would it? It wouldn't be good for that relationship that we have one with another. Understand, our Lord is speaking to us. And how much we pick up his word individually, personally, is telling about how much we're turning away from the Lord or how much we're inclining our ear and our hearts to listen to him. And then you think about that. These messages are challenging, and they're by design and on purpose challenging, because that's what we're called into. You know, I think that with our revival services and having Brother Tom Horn with us, and the Lord blessed greatly in those messages, I think there indeed is a call unto Olmsted Baptist Church to ratchet it up and grow up a little bit more. Don't you think? Seems to me. And that's what we pray for, and we need to. And I'm not looking to hound any particular one of you or anything like that. I'm not looking for that. I want us to all to grow up to what's next in our lives. Some of us have been saved for decades and some for a lesser time. That doesn't mean that some are greater and some are less. We're all at the place that we are in our call and the salvation of the Lord and our spiritual maturity. And are we growing up? We need to go ahead and grow up. I'm not saying that we're not, but I'm saying make sure you are. Make sure that I am. And may the Lord help us in that. Our Lord is very near. He's within us, the Father, the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ here within us. And as we walk with our Lord, how is it that we listen to him? In Habakkuk chapter 2, and there's Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, minor prophet. Habakkuk, the account of Habakkuk is interesting indeed. And there's a verse here in chapter 2, verse number 1, that I think is a good verse for every child of God to have in our hearts and have in our minds to understand about this, of us speaking to the Lord and the Lord speaking to us. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 1, and it tells here too that our calling of the Lord is not spectator, but it's active. The calling that we have as the children of the Lord is an active calling. It's called unto action. We are called unto action. Listen to this in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 1. I will stand on my watch. Now, you've got one. Scripture says about Brother David, how he served his generation, and then he went on to be with the Lord. That's where you and I are, is here to serve our generation. Our generation helps us too, but we are called here to serve our generation. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He came indeed first as a servant. I will stand upon my watch. Keeping watch at night is inconvenient. Ask our brethren and those we know of here that were in the military. It's inconvenient to keep that early morning watch. Get up at, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning and keep watch then. But that's what we're called to do. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. Not negligence, but be in the place where I'm to be. I will watch to see what he, the Lord, will say unto me. That's listening to the Lord, if you will, in this, the point we want to make tonight, listening to him through his word, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And in reproving, there is indeed a challenging, a warning. And we talk about that, and the scripture speaks to us. Brother Timothy has spoken to that, about that by Brother Paul, about how the word of God is good and right for instruction in righteousness and for reproof and rebuke, exhortation. And so how is it with you and I as we stand here on our watch? And how is it in particular tonight, our Lord speaking to us? We need to be reading this book. We need to be reading this book. Consuming it, eating it. And like I mentioned a couple of times ago, if you need a plan to be able to keep that up, then get you a plan and do it. But you need to be reading and eating the book. And you know what? And nobody can do it for you. Brother Jim, my life is chock full and I barely get 4 hours of sleep as it is. We need to be reading and consuming the book. And again, I'm not telling you, I'm not saying at all that it's wrong to read the Word of God every day. But I have seen and known in my own life and know in the life of others that there's a trap in that if I'm reading my Bible by rote but getting nothing out of it, there's a thing that I'm accomplishing the reading, but I don't know any more than I ever knew before. Don't fall into that trap, okay? It's good to read the Word of God every day, a couple times a day. It's good. The thing is if you fail to read it every day, make sure you're reading it. Reading it some. And set yourself as this a lifetime work to be consuming this book. Reading it. You need to read the Word of God. You and I both need to. Now here's something that we don't think about, and that's interesting. And in our day, I mean in my day, growing up and even as a young child of God, after the Lord saved me in that, is this of meditation upon the Word of God. You know, it takes take some time to be still and turn off the music, turn off the this, turn off the that, and read the Word of God and consider about those words and consider about that context. And put yourself in the sandals of those that are being spoken to, you and I. It takes some time to do that, but I tell you what, it's worth it. It's worth it to meditate upon our Lord's word. Turn over here to Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1. And just real quickly, look at this. Did you know? I mean, here's a study. To take a look at and expand upon, but just quickly, Psalm 1, verse 2, talking about the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Verse number 2, Psalm 1, 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Put down the video game. Turn off the radio. Turn off Fox. Meditate on some passage, something. ask the Lord to speak to you about it. The thing is, I'm not talking about reading more into the scripture that's there, but have you and I, do we mine out what is there? What is there? Meditate upon the word of God. Psalm 63, verse 6. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, Habakkuk talked about taking his place on his watch. And you know, what better thing as you lay down at night and pray to your Lord before you close your eyes and sleep and to just think about some portion of his word, to meditate on it. Lord, what's that mean? Do you have questions about the word of God? Lord, what's the answer to that? Lord, help me to see the fuller understanding and meaning of this application to my life. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, 12. Psalm 77, 12. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Meditate on all thy work. Of all thy work. From the beginning until now, can you just walk through the work of the Lord? Now, it's a wonder how he created, isn't it? It's a wonder who our Lord is. To think about his greatness. To think about those things that he gives us in his word that tell us about him. How he's created. How he's created us. How he shows us from time to time and reminds us indeed that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How he saved us. How he does all these things for us. You can take a look in Psalm 119, a great emphasis in Psalm 119 about the word of God. Look here in verse number 15, Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse number 48, my hands also will I lift unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. It goes on, there's more verses at hand. And then Psalm 143, let's touch here quickly. Psalm 143, verse number 5. I think we have a directive to meditate upon the scriptures, don't we? You know, technology is a wonderful thing and it's a blessing. But as with everything, it's a blessing and then it can be a curse. And you know what? Mankind and man's depravity and the way of the world is going to take technology naturally and use it, and it will become a distraction from what's the real issue is. Now, I'm glad that we've got printing presses, right? It's because of that we've got a Bible like we do today. Printing presses can be used for evil, and printing presses can be used for good. And that's what we need to do. We need to take the technology and use it well, but not abuse it, right? Not abuse it, but use it well. And don't let there be a thought in our hearts and minds to understand that something else can come in the substitution of meditation. If you and I don't meditate about the Word of God, we will not have meditated about the Word of God. And there's not a pill to take, and there's not some other plan B for meditation. It's in the heart, and it takes the Word of God. And there's a chewing over what the Lord says in his word in our hearts. Verse 5 of Psalm 143, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. Listen to this. I muse on the work of thy hands. Muse. We don't use that word unless we use it to from the standpoint of amusement. You hear that? A means not. Amusement and entertains the flesh and causes us not to think. Amusement. We need to muse. We need to think about our Lord's word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Brother Paul writes to Brother Timothy, and he tells him this in verse number 15, 1 Timothy 4, verse number 15. Verse number 13, he says, give attendance to reading, all right? And verse number 15, he says, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditation. Brother Jim, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I tell you what, you're a child of God. And you need to know what the Lord said. Remember, don't be a child of God that as the Lord is speaking, because he's speaking out of this book continuously, where we turn the head away from him. So reading, meditation upon the word of God. And then this of studying. As we go through grammar school and high school and such as that, for many, it's kind of like Escape from Alcatraz. Or maybe they go on to tech school or for college or whatever, and then after that, I don't want to do any kind of education anymore. Everybody's got their calling. Everybody's got their pursuits. The thing is you can't take that attitude with the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to consume it. We need to meditate upon it. And we need to study it. Studying it is different than reading it. Meditating upon it helps indeed the studying of it. And they are connected there. But studying is talking about digging. It's talking about digging. Look here what I dug up. You remember that? For some, that's a blast from the past. Maybe you're not a, we don't use it this way anymore, but what this is a Strong's Concordance. How do you study? Brother Jim, the Word of God's so big, I don't know where to get started at. I understand that. That's something good to talk to the Lord about. Lord, help me know where to start studying. There's all kinds of different ways that you can study. You can take that first chapter of the Gospels there in Matthew chapter 1, and you can start reading there and deal with that lineage. That's right there. I mean, there's a wealth, the lineages. That's one of the things that folks say makes the Bible so boring. The lineages tell us about the age of this earth, and every name that's mentioned is an account in and of itself about how our Lord brought the Savior here and how everything that he promised, he's brought to pass wonderfully. Every name. Some names more than other. With a concordance, this concordance has got every word in the Bible listed in order. You can go to the word autist and look up every account where the word autist is used. I wouldn't recommend that for a study. But you know what? You can go over here in a concordance, and you can go over here and find the name David. And you can study all about, you can see everywhere in the Bible where David is mentioned, Old Testament and New. A concordance is not the only way to study, but it is a good tool. And if you want a doorstop version, I'll help you get one. I can get you one. But you know what? I've got a concordance on this. Or on your computer. It's easy. It's free. It's by a concordance that you can take and... Have you ever studied and considered about justification, the doctrine of justification? And how it is that you and I have been made, we who are saved, have been made just as if we've never sinned? Well, see, unless you can read the Bible and read it quickly and then be looking for all those forms of the word justification or justify in the scriptures and then log all those down, you're going to be hard pressed to get to that study and get it accomplished. With a concordance, you can take it and you can look them all up, all forms of them, and see how they all interconnect. Character studies, doctrinal studies, different word studies, historical studies. Did you know that the Book of Kings and the books of Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, have a lot of overlap? But there's details in different ones of them that give us the whole picture. Kind of like the Gospels. I recommend for those that are newly saved or newly getting into studying the Word of God to just become immersed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You need to know about your Lord. He tells us in Matthew 11, there at the end of the chapter, he says, "Learn of me." Well, that's what he did. That's what he did to save you. Can you take the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and connect them together? As I did Sunday morning about the account of the man that was there bringing his son at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus came down. All those accounts build on the story, don't they? They build on the full understanding of what happened there. That's studying. It'll be a blessing to you. You'll see things that you haven't seen. You'll know and learn things that you haven't learned. How about a run at the Gospels where we're on the lookout for Old Testament references? References of our Lord Jesus, references by the writers to things in the Old Testament. And then going there. And what do they say? What do they say? Jesus, when the woman taken in adultery was brought to him, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Now, we're not told what he wrote on the ground, but what do you think he wrote on the ground? I'll tell you what, if we go to the Old Testament scriptures and take a look at adultery, we might find out what he wrote on the ground. I don't know. But wouldn't that be like our Lord to write down what the law says? And in that showed them they didn't bring the man. That would help us to understand what's going on too. They didn't bring the man. They're both supposed to be brought. And they were guilty in that. Study. A concordance is a great help for study. I'm not opposed, by no means am I opposed to the writings of men. There are many men that have written a lot of good things. There are many men that have written a lot of sorry things too. We do learn one from another, and we do all have learned from our pastors or brethren that have been teachers or our teachers in our Sunday school classes from growing up. We've all learned from somebody else. There's no shame in that. But it does come to a time for the child of God that you need to learn for yourself and make it your own. Somebody that's new and fresh and just saved, a lot of things that they're going to get and understand, they may get it from their pastor, somebody that they trust in the church that is founded and settled on things. And that's appropriate and that's right. But in time, it needs to be you and yours, mine, where I can show, "Thus saith the Lord," and convicted that that's what I'm going to go forth with in my life and my home. Study. Another good reference that I would recommend is a Webster's 1828 dictionary. Why would you recommend a Webster's 1828 dictionary? Well, the reason is because that dictionary is more telling about the meanings of the words as they are used in this King James translation that we have. English is dynamic. English is changing. And so it's a good reference to understand what those words mean. Surely, have you come up on some words that, I don't know exactly what that means. I think I know what that means. Now, that's a good reference too, when you get tripped up. And you know what? You can get that for free. Study helps. Study helps are good, but then study helps can be a detriment too. When we go to the jail, we're often asked for daily breads. And daily breads are developed by an interdenominational outfit up in Minnesota, I believe, if I remember. And from the standpoint of salvation and stuff like that would be good. Know nothing about the church. Don't understand about the church. The thing is if you do go with a devotional, the thing is you're going by the writer and you have an opportunity to get into that by rote. I'm not saying that there aren't good thoughts there, but the thing is child of God, Baptist, you've got the Spirit of God within you. How about having Him lead you in what to study? Reading, meditating, studying the good word of God. These helps, they can direct our thinking, which is not bad, but all the time. See, as we do study the word of God, we're back to prayer. Lord, help me. Help me in this. I want to take this time. And I want to look into your word about this subject, and I pray that you would help me with it. See, get down to where the rubber meets the road with the Lord about what you want. Father, bless us today and your hand upon us in every way. Forgive us for our sins and thank you for your goodness and blessings. No, I'm telling you, Lord, I'm getting ready to read your word here, and I want to know more about Brother David. I want to know more about the Lord Jesus. I want to learn more about these Passover references in the Gospels and how these Gospels get down to the nitty-gritty with the Lord about what's going on and pray specifically that the Lord would help you and me to understand as we go and look to His Word. A second point in the study of the Bible is remember this. God means what He says and says what He means. And don't be careful about going to other. And we know of those that have been spoiled about not being satisfied with the literal meaning of the Scripture and going off into all kinds of craziness and heresies and such as that. Be careful about, well, let me ask you this. Is the Word of God exciting? I tell you what, the Word of God is exciting and thrilling when we understand that God's speaking to us and showing us eternal truths about Him and about us and about the operation of things. To understand that this book has that thing that you and I need for this life that has eternal significance, a word that is settled in heaven above and beyond anything else that's been declared by anyone else. I tell you what, the Word of God will be exciting if you go into it. You and I go into it believing and knowing that it is a thrill and exciting to hear from God Almighty. He's the most famous one that there ever will be. Take it literally, what he says. In its literal meaning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, understand this about the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them. Now understand context. Who's being spoken to? Church at Corinth in Greece, made up namely of Gentiles. There may be some Jews there, but namely going to be Gentiles. Church of one of the churches of the Lord. Okay, Olmsted Baptist Church can take this direct on. He's speaking to us too because we are a church. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, speaking about the Jews, the nation of Israel, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Understand that about the Bible. That the Word of God has come to us. We need to take it always literally, unless there's a directive in the Scripture that it's allegory or a parable or something like that. We need to keep in mind that the Bible has been written for us, but not all of it was written to us. 1 Corinthians is. But what's written to the Jews, as Brother Doug has touched on in some of his Sunday school classes, is not directly, but there is a purpose for it that does apply to us. See, and that takes discernment. That takes help from the Spirit of the Lord to take that and put all those things in its right place. We always need to keep track of context. Context in the Scripture. Who is speaking? To whom is being spoken to? And what is the subject at hand? And when? What time is there? As we study, for 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you know this, I trust, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Lord says what he means and means what he says. We always need to remember what Brother Philip Thomas preached one time when he was here some years ago. Context is king. We need to take the Word of God literally as we study. We need to keep it in its context. We need to understand and be looking for the application to us. We need to know that it's not necessarily all of the Word of God is necessarily written directly to us, but it is for us. Not all of the Scripture is written about us, but is indeed written for us. And from that we can gain and we can glean and understand what the Lord has for us in it. I pose to you, do you have a trouble having a time because of your busy schedule, up very early, bed late to bed at night? Tell you what, if you've got a up early schedule and a late to bed at night kind of schedule, that probably means you spend a certain amount of time on the road. I've got a CD I'll give you that's got all the Word of God on it. Listen to the Word of God. I tell you what, it's a different kind of thing than reading. And it's good. Don't you go to the grocery store? Who of us doesn't take road trips? Listen to the Word of God. I tell you what, it is an interesting perspective to sit down and listen to an entire book in one setting. Rather than maybe piece here, piece there, and such as it is, as just life necessitates, when you go on that road trip, take that 2 hours, that 3 hours, and listen to the book of Leviticus. Well, yeah, Leviticus is good. But listen to them. Listen to the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. Read the Word of God. As we study, keep a notebook to write down things that you learn. But it doesn't have to be a notebook. It can be a word processing document. Be notes on your device. Pick a subject. Study it out. Bring it out of the Word of God. And keep track of it, what you've learned. And then when you move on to another subject, and you move on to another subject, you move on to another subject, and down there a year or two or three, you see something else that applied back to that there, you can go and catch that up. That's studying. It'll be a blessing. And the Word of God will come alive. I'm not one that's I mark my Bible up. Some don't like to do that, and that's fine. But I think a great thing that can be done is what I mentioned earlier in study, Bible study, is Old Testament references or your own cross references. You know what a cross reference is? In one book, it's being spoken about here, like the man with the demoniac son that I mentioned on Sunday. And that's in this gospel and say in Mark. And then you find the reference of where it's at in Matthew and find the reference there where it's in Luke. So when you touch back on that again, you can look at all three places to get the full picture. Or the Old Testament references. Make those interconnections. Make those interconnections in the scripture, however it is that you can do that. As we mentioned, as we study, treat the Bible, the Word of God, as a personal letter from our Lord. Jeremiah declares that our Lord has loved us with an everlasting love. He's writing to us, child of God, because He loves us. And you know what? The Lord does not want us to be rich in ignorance. Amen? We do not need to be rich in ignorance. We need to be knowledgeable about our Lord. As we study, let us remember that Scripture always interprets Scripture. There's no private interpretation of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 19, he says, "And we also have a more sure word of prophecy, the apostles, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." To be convinced, to be converted about the good word of God. Not knowing that the word of God has this stuff that's in here that maybe my pastor knows about and preaches about, but that the good word of God has got this in here that I have. That I have. What's the sentence go on to say? Knowing this first, this is clarity to that, until that day, the light shineth in a dark place, until day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, you be convicted and converted like Peter was. See, the Lord Jesus told Peter, said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." We all need to be convinced and dedicated to the way of the Lord. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It means what the Lord wants it to mean. And Scripture we can use to interpret other Scripture. In John chapter 15, as you and I study, as we would undertake to study the good Word of God and fill up with it and meditate upon it and ask our Lord to help us to grow in it, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, right? That knowledge, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord speaking to us. As our Lord shows us the truth, John 15, verse number 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." When you see in there that the Lord says to stay away from a thing or to get busy about a thing, obey Him. Obey Him. Because see, it's come right there to you. You and the Lord in the study of His Word, seeking His face and petitioning Him to speak to you out of His book by His Spirit. And when He shows it, may we obey Him. May we obey Him. May you and I obey Him as He teaches us. Brother Jim, there's passages in the Scripture that I just don't understand. I know that. It's going to be that way. I would almost say it's supposed to be that way, but I don't want to say that. But you understand where I'm coming from. The Word of God is deep. The Word of God is wide. The Word of God is just unending. This is the living book. It's alive. We will not get to the end of it. There will be things that we will not understand. What do we do with that? Ask the Lord to help us to understand in His time. Maybe there's something that you don't understand and you would want to know what I think about it as your pastor. That's good. I'm not telling you I've got the answer, but I'll give you what I think, believe the Lord's shown me. And you know what? You and I have our brothers and sisters in Christ too. You got sisters and you got brethren. We, by virtue of our conferences and our revival services, you've got brethren that you've met over the course of the years that you can talk to about the Word of God. I'm not going to be jealous about that. Don't be talking to them about church business. But you want to talk to them or ask them what they think about the Word of God, do so. Do so. There will be things that will be hard to be understood or that we just don't, that just don't click as we study. And you know what? I pray that each and every one will study and have those points where you got in your notebook or in your word processor document or on your device. What's this mean? How does this apply? Is it this way or is it this way? I pray that we'll go that far in studying the good Word of God. Do you think that you know, do you and I think that we know all the Word of God? We don't. Do you think that we've got all the Word of God that we need, that we know all the Word of God that we need? You know, that can be a trap for some. Well, I've got enough. I know what I need to be able to operate. Everything's good. It's good enough. I tell you what, it's not good enough. Let us be a people that studies and digs in the good Word of God, and may our Lord help us in it and bless us in it. Study. Remember, it's our Lord speaking to us. When we stand there at our watch and speak and pray unto our Lord that we would hear from Him, and that He would speak to us and reprove us and instruct us, and we'd have an answer unto Him of His blessing on us? Or will we turn our head away as our Lord is in us and speaks to us through His Word? May our Lord help us in our daily walk with our Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, this really hadn't been a message to you. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He saved us. You know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ has saved us not because we're good, but because we're sinners in need of salvation. And you know what? You too can be saved. But you must repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone, for the salvation of your soul. You need Him. He doesn't need you. But you know what? He's been gracious. He's been merciful to take His good word and take it and broadcast it over the ages by His people and in our day by His churches, so that a sinner like you can hear about your need in the Savior and so that you can be saved. Repent of your sins and trust in Him.